fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Tuesday, the 5th day of May, year of our Lord 2018, welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, the year is already one-third past here, isn't it? How about that? We have open lines this first hour. The call number is 800-313-9443. Second hour, we'll have Leon Green with us. The headline on Drudge right now has to do with the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, revealing the documentation that Iran has been developing nuclear weapons all these years. How about that? No shock, no surprise there, is there? And then another headline is the head of South Korea is proposing that Donald Trump be awarded Nobel Peace Prize. I got the Prague Peace Prize, which is kind of ironic because shortly after Hussein Obama took office, he'd only been in office a few weeks, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize and hadn't done anything in those first few weeks to help peace or any other time, as far as I know. Okay, prepper tip of the day. It's springtime. Many parts of the country, including where I live, we're getting lots of rain. So the prepper tip of the day is make sure your rain gear is ready for service, ready to be used. So it reminds me of something my drill sergeant told me in basic training half a century ago. He says, young trooper, when you're in the Army, never get wet, never get cold, never get hungry. And those are words to live by. Okay. We're going to talk this morning about one of my favorite topics that I talk about a lot because, well, it's so important because it's radio. We always have new listeners. And even if you've heard this topic before, which if you're a regular listener, you have, it doesn't hurt to hear it again. And maybe pick up a little nuance or something you haven't thought about before. That topic, of course, is electromagnetic pulse. And I should mention, my YouTube archives are back up and running as of last night. We're gradually getting them posted, the ones that were missing for the past 3 weeks. My webmaster, Tim Spencer, has been struggling with computer issues these past 3 weeks. They're still not completely resolved, but he's developed workarounds to get everything going there. Electromagnetic pulse. Despite the media attention, it's still a tiny percentage of American adults who actually know what EMP is, as opposed to kind of sort of hearing about it, like my local sheriff. There's two forms of this. The natural form, which is comes from our sun, coronal mass ejections, and the man-made form, which our main concern there would be nuclear weapons set off in space. There's other ways it can be done by human beings. In fact, the EMP pulse can be set off with conventional explosives. Doesn't even need to be nuclear devices. In fact, one of the magazines, and I always forget if it's Popular Science or Popular Mechanics, is one of those two, about 15, 16 years ago, ran an article on giving a rough outline on how to fabricate an EMP device using conventional explosives like dynamite, for example. It would be powerful to take out maybe a city block, maybe two or three city blocks. That's how powerful that pulse would be. We're not going to really get into that. In the modern age, and I'm including 1859 in the modern age, we had a coronal mass ejection. It's come to be known as the Carrington event, 1859, that hit North America with a vengeance. Now, electricity in 1859 was pretty much restricted to university laboratories. There was a lot of experimentation going on with electricity. So we didn't have a power grid. What we did have, however, east of the Mississippi primarily, was a pretty complete and pretty widespread telegraph system. Now, these wires connecting all the telegraph offices east of the Mississippi acted as antennas to collect the energy from the coronal mass ejection, direct that energy into the telegraph offices where they set fires. We had barbed wire fences. The barbed wire fences collected energy and started fires in the fields. It's been said by the scientists who understand this that a similar event today would knock out the power for at least half the planet, possibly the entire planet. It could be that powerful because coronal mass ejections can do something that EMP can't do. That's go around the curvature of the Earth. And for you folks out there who believe the Earth is flat, well, just get over it. I have friends that believe that, and God bless them. They think that when I told them the following, this is kind of a segue here, I know. I said, you know, there's thousands, tens of thousands of pilots all over this planet, and they nod their heads in agreement. In order for this to be true, all these pilots would have to be in on the secret and agree to keep the secret from everybody else, and they nodded their heads in agreement. In addition, all the charts they had would have to be two charts, one to fool the public, and another set of charts that were real charts for the flat planet. And once again, they nodded their heads in agreement. It's a very bizarre way of theory, I should say, that is easily disproved. Okay, getting back to the topic. Coronal mass ejection. We had a very powerful one. I don't have off the top of my head how powerful. In 2012, that just barely missed planet Earth. It is inevitable, according to scientists who understand these matters. It is inevitable that a powerful coronal mass ejection will hit planet Earth. It could be next week. It could be next month. It could be 10 years in the future. That is inevitable. It will happen. It's just a matter of percentage odds building up in favor of that happening. And the other form of EMP is, as I mentioned, is caused by a nuclear device being set off in space. It could be 20 miles up, 50 miles up, 100 miles up. The higher it is and the more powerful it is, the more bang they get for their buck. The experts who've looked into this believe the most effective way to do this would be to take out North America, would be four devices, one over each time zone. Now, just one over Kansas, which is about the middle of the country, would take out most of the country, most of the lower 48. Now, there's two North Korean satellites that go over North America every 12 hours, twice a day. And a former director of the CIA revealed publicly last September that both satellites have nuclear devices on board. It's also been verified that there's no signals coming from either one of these satellites. Typically, satellites are put up for communications purposes, and they send and receive data. Well, it's not happening with either one of these two satellites. A simple way to accomplish the same goal, I've mentioned this publicly, it's just no secret, it's not high tech, it's low tech, would be to take one or more nuclear devices and weather balloons. And weather balloons could lift that payload up high enough, oh, say 20 miles up or so, to get a pretty good effect there. Weather balloons could be released onshore, say, oh, let's say one in Boston, maybe one over New York, one over Washington, D.C. Get some good coverage there where 80, 85 million people live. Our defense systems are set up to monitor and look for missiles coming at us, aircraft coming at us. A weather balloon is not going to get very much attention from NORAD. It simply won't. It may get some attention, but not much attention. One set up over Houston, Texas. They don't have to be on land. A ocean-going ship, cargo ship, even a good-sized passenger ship could do this off the coast in the Gulf of Mexico. I believe once you're 12 miles away from the United States, you're in international waters. Release that weather balloon with a nuclear device, get it up there about 20 miles, and push the button. Are there people that want to hurt us? Yes, there are people that want to hurt us. How many times have the people that run the country of Iran said they want to destroy the United States? Who's keeping track of that? I'm not. I don't trust Kim Jong-un any farther than I could throw that chubby little guy. Are the communist Chinese? Are the Russians? Any of them? All of which have that capability. The focus on missiles is wrong, wrong, wrong. You don't need missiles. All you need is weather balloons. This country is very porous. Drug cartels routinely bring in cocaine, heroin, things of that nature by the ton every year. Of course, a foreign intelligence service could bring nuclear weapons in here. Of course, they could do that. They don't even need to, as I just mentioned. Merchant vessels in international waters could launch weather balloons with nuclear devices. If they did it off the West Coast, international waters, they could launch several there, and they would drift east because that's the natural course of the winds. Off the East Coast, well, they wouldn't want them to drift east over the Atlantic. They'd probably set them off relatively quickly before they got too far east to get the maximum effect. Nothing you can do or I can do to stop it. What we can do is lobby our governors, our state and legislators, to protect these individual state power grids. Dr. Peter Pry, his report, the report written by the committee appointed by government, engineers and scientists, that's a free download at my website, by the way, at thelibertyman.com. Let's scroll down here. I believe it's on the left side. It's just to the left of the video, the John Wayne video of 1970 Variety Show, EMP Commission Executive Report. The little video about cancer there is just to the right of that also. You need to read that report. You need to educate yourself. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of the qualified scientists and engineers. What am I? I'm a homicide detective. I'm no engineer. I'm no scientist. But I'm a pretty smart fellow, and I can read this stuff and understand it, and you are too. Listeners to the John Moore Show are very bright men and women that actually do read books. This is just a couple hundred pages. Now keep in mind one caveat. This is an important one. When I read it, I was so happy that my Lincoln Town Car would probably still run. Well, they didn't have the money to properly test modern cars and trucks. They were given instructions to run low-grade pulses against these vehicles so that they could be easily repaired and resold on the market. So that's what they did. What we believe is that a full strength pulse would knock out almost all vehicles made after 1972. 1972 was the last year that these motor vehicles did not have electronic ignitions. Now, granted, those first few years, especially the first 10, they were rather primitive and simple compared to today, but still they were electronic. So if having transportation, a motor vehicle transportation, is something you want a motor vehicle built model year 1972 or earlier, you're also going to want a generator instead of an alternator. Generators are more resistant to EMP. Alternators are less resistant to EMP. You have to go back to the mid to late 60s to go back to cars that had both a generator and no electronic ignition. And they're out there. You may run across some real upscale collector's models that you pay a premium price for, but I would look first at trucks, quite frankly. Trucks, just plain old pickup trucks and flatbed trucks, nothing exotic or simple or complex. Just plain old pickup trucks and flatbed trucks that are used by farmers and construction workers. Of course, the main problem with motor vehicles is fuel. Whatever fuel you got may be all the fuel you ever have. Of course, for a period of time, there'll be lots of free fuel in the millions of motor vehicles that will never run again all over the country that can be harvested. That would run out fairly quickly, too. The refineries would be toast probably for years. I don't know. In fact, I know an engineer that I could talk to. She's recently retired from that industry. Very high-level engineer, worked for in the oil refinery business. I could talk to her to find out if there's been any plans made to put these refineries back in service after EMP. I strongly doubt it. I would be pleasantly surprised and shocked both if the petroleum industry had done that. It's highly, highly unlikely. Official estimates, government estimates, Within the first 12 months of a nationwide EMP, and when I say nationwide, the lower 48, not counting Alaska or Hawaii, official estimates are that 9 out of 10 Americans would be dead by the end of the first year. The kill-off would begin immediately, instantly. Instantly, people would die. Anybody that has a machine to keep them alive, they'd be dead. Pacemakers, maybe, maybe not. That's an unknown. It depends on the pacemaker. It depends on how strong the pulse is and where the person is when the pulse happens. If they're in a metal building that's grounded, they may survive it. First 8 weeks, almost everybody who needs a prescription medication to stay alive, they'll be dead. That's tens of millions of Americans right there. When the water treatment plants stop functioning, well, it's going to be more tens of millions of Americans. That first drink you take of bad water will be a one-way ticket to diarrhea, dehydration, and death. And you will drink the bad water. If you're thirsty enough, you will drink the bad water. Most Americans never experience extreme thirst. I've been close a couple of times, and you can get pretty desperate pretty quick. Starvation will not kill as many people as lack of meds and lack of clean water, but it will kill, once again, tens of millions of people. It's a long list of things that will cause fatalities. Going back to the 1890s, without the infrastructure of the 1890s, that's what we're looking at. So who's going to survive this? Well, the most survivors are going to be relatively healthy men and women between 16 and 25 years old, at the peak of their health, at the peak of their athletic performance. Just because they're stronger and healthier going into this is going to increase their rates of survival. Of course it will. The infant children of those people will be more likely to survive because these healthy young people will have more strength and more ability to get resources to keep their infant children alive. Who's going to die off? Well, it's going to cut across race, economics, health, wealth, all those things. Most of them won't matter as far as who's going to live and who's going to die. I did a presentation on this. It's been, I guess, about 8 to 10 years ago. I have to look it up. I was at the home of the former president of the Bank of the Philippines, just outside Manila, extreme Manila suburb. Very nice gated community, about 3,000, 4,000 feet above sea level. Very pleasant place. We were on a veranda, a screened veranda overlooking the ocean there. There were these beautiful islands off in the distance. And myself and my buddy, we're the only two Caucasians there. The rest were all native-born Filipinos. Very bright, very well-educated, spoke English better than some of my hillbilly neighbors, by the way. When I finished up my presentation, one of them asked me, "John, who's going to survive this?" I stood up and I pointed at one of the islands. I said, "You see that island over there?" They all nodded, "Yeah." "I'll tell you who's going to survive it. The barefoot peasants on that island who have cast iron cook pots, home little huts they built out of banana leaves and bamboo, and not much else, because their lives aren't going to change. That's who's going to survive this." Now, the people I was talking to were very upper class. wealthy people. You don't know what wealth is till you've been around folks at this level. Seriously. Where you could grow up in a very nice home and never set, and reach your 18th birthday and never set foot in your own kitchen. Drive a motor vehicle? Why would you ever do that? The development where this home was had 9 restaurants, 3 golf courses. You get the picture. The guards at the gate, I mean, these were real guards. These guys had submachine guns. Not some rent-a-cop. These guys were all paramilitary with submachine guns. And the place was immaculate. 40 acres of homes that look like Swiss chalets. 40 acres of homes that look like Spanish haciendas. 40 acres of homes that look like suburban American homes. Very nice. And these people all figured out real quick, these are bright, educated people, that once that entire lifestyle was based on two things. Electronic impulses on a hard drive at their bank, which designated their wealth, and electricity. Once the electronic impulses that designate their wealth on a hard drive at a bank go away, and the electricity itself goes away, their very luxurious lifestyle goes away also. These are bright people. They understood this immediately. I haven't been back in touch with these folks. I didn't, and they haven't contacted me. I hope I had some positive impact on them, because these are people who were on a first name basis with the president of the country, the leaders of the country, and so forth. I hope I had some positive impact there. I don't know. I may never know. I haven't been invited back. I would go in a heartbeat. I love the country. Reminds me of Vietnam, another beautiful country that I love. In fact, a lot of, up until recently, Vietnam War films were shot in the Philippines, because there's so many similarities between the cultures, the climate, the topography, the jungles and everything. And don't fool yourself. The Philippines has some very, very serious jungles. In this country, your best odds of survival, in my opinion, would be on a hobby farm, self-sufficient hobby farm. I'll define that in a little bit here. At a distance, preferably a real good distance from a major city, where you, your people on your hobby farm, are all integrated and part of a larger community. In your township, your town, your township, your county. That's the ideal way to survive this, in my opinion, based on everything I know. A hobby farm, as opposed to a commercial farm, typically a commercial farm will have one, maybe two or three products that they cultivate, harvest, and sell as a business. It could be milk, it could be beef, it could be corn, it could be honey, it could be a number of things. A hobby farm, what's produced there is meant primarily for consumption by the people that work there. They may have one thing they pick out for a cash crop, while at the same time having a very extensive garden with fruits and vegetables. Maybe a milk cow, maybe a goat for goat milk, maybe some goats for meat also. I'm no farmer, don't pretend to be. I have heard from people who are farmers, however, that goats are the most productive farm animal there is in terms of what you get for what it costs you. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our energy cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an energy cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the energy cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get energy cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the energy cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 5th day of May. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Lots of interesting things there. Articles that will inform you, articles that will educate you, entertain, possibly make you upset. A lot there. Under John's Survival and Tactical Gear, we have a couple of hundred different items for sale. These are mostly Amazon items, the kind of things that if John Moore was going to have a yard sale, these are the items I would have in my yard sale. Great way to equip yourself, by the way. Also, if you need a private consultation, or if you'd like me to come to your community and do a speaking engagement in your community, well, the details are there at my website under professional consultations and keynote presentations. I just found out this morning that Prague event will be postponed for at least 8 or 9 months into the future, possibly a year into the future. So it'll be at least that long before I go back to Prague, Czech Republic. But if you want me to come to your community, all the details on how to make that happen are at my website under professional consultations and keynote presentations. Okay, also on my website, of course, you'll find energy cleaner for sale. My friend Tom Berryhill is a manufacturer. He worked with the inventor, Lee Kroc, to develop the energy cleaner and make it a marketable, commercially viable product. If you have issues with pain, it could be joint pain, arthritis pain, back pain, the Energy Cleaner will probably help. Not getting a great night's sleep, the Energy Cleaner will probably help there also. Are you risking anything when you buy an Energy Cleaner from John Moore? No, you're not, because I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. 90 days, that's 3 months to check it out and make sure it works for you. Most people these days are getting a factory-made fitted mattress pad to go with the Energy Cleaner. It's a great combination. You should check that out also. All the details are at my website at thelibertyman.com, where you can make your purchase using PayPal. PayPal is wonderful. It's the most secure, safest way to make any purchase online. I use PayPal all the time. Once you get used to it, you'll like it also. You need to send me a check or money order, my address is at my website also at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free hour line, 24 hours a day, here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Taking your questions, calls, and comments here at Republic Broadcasting at 800-313-9443. I had coffee with a neighbor, a friend of mine. He comes to movie night every Friday. He's retired. He was a factory worker and a very high-level union representative before his retirement. He doesn't have internet service, but wouldn't have a clue what to do with a computer. But he's a bright guy, and he understands how the world works. He's now a cattle rancher and does construction work. And he found out about EMP about 3 years ago. He's talking over with some of the other cattle ranchers in the neighborhood. And once they began to comprehend what EMP is, what it can do, they began their own preparations. They asked me to help as their advisor. I've been advising these men now for, this is the third year. And it's been a lot of fun working with these men. And helping them to get prepared. These men live and work in my neighborhood, Davisville, Missouri. And anything I can do that helps my neighbors also helps me. The more prepared the neighborhood is, the safer my family is. That's a true statement. In case you don't understand it, you need to. The more prepared your neighborhood is, the better off you are. Will an EMP happen? Well, it's inevitable that we'll get hit at some point by coronal mass ejection. That's a given. Just when it's going to happen, well, we simply don't know, do we? Will we have an EMP attack? I'd say it's one of the more likely things to happen. If you haven't been listening to Jeff Nyquist with me here, the second hour on Wednesdays, you need to be listening to Jeff. We don't have any archives posted for the last several weeks, I don't believe, but he's been on now for about 2 months. Wednesday is the second hour. And it's a college-level dissertation on geopolitical matters, especially the nuances of the International Communist Conspiracy and what their goals are, which haven't changed in over a century, by the way. Domination of the world, economically, culturally, politically, militarily. That's their goal. And they can't achieve that unless the United States, as we know it, is destroyed. They can't. They won't. So you need to understand that. And that's what makes the threat of EMP. It makes it viable. Makes it a real, clear and present danger, in my opinion, is the international communist threat. And don't forget that the Muslim leadership is working with the communists to achieve goals. And they have a mutual goal of destroying the United States. So that adds a little more fuel to the fire there, doesn't it? Starting a hobby farm, even if you're a farmer, is a daunting task. If you're not a farmer, you grew up in a city like I did, it can be quite a learning curve. That first year, you may get a few vegetables that you can eat, maybe some fruit off the fruit off a like strawberry, something like that. Fruit trees take several years to be planted and mature to the point where they're bearing fruit. The second year, you'll have more production. By the third year, you may be feeding your family maybe half their needs. Yeah, that's all. There's a lot of, you know, different outcomes here. Everybody's going to have their own outcome. A lot of moving pieces here. How much energy you've got, the land you're trying to grow fruits and vegetables on, the rainfall, your expertise, the access to mechanized equipment that you've got or don't have. A lot of moving pieces here. It's going to determine what you get for production and how quickly. My rule of thumb is generally it takes at least 3 years to establish a hobby farm that can produce food to feed the people that are living there. It could be 2 years, it could be 4 years, but 3 years is a fairly good goal, I would say. A fairly good goal. There's lots to this, and having money helps, but it doesn't speed things up all that much, if at all. It's mostly going to be your individual labor and sweat is what's going to make this happen. And the knowledge you bring from learning, you can learn about gardening from books, from videos, from going to seminars, talking to your neighbors who garden. Your neighbors who garden are a wealth of knowledge. They have firsthand experience in your neighborhood dealing with your specific climate. That's extremely valuable. And whatever it takes to get that knowledge, I would certainly go about the business of doing it. You need that knowledge. The time to get started? Well, how about yesterday? People always say, and I get out and I do these presentations, John, when's it going to happen? Well, in this case, EMP, I don't know if or when EMP would ever happen. I know it could happen. It's more likely to happen than many other things. It certainly would accomplish the goal of the communists with a minimum exposure on their part to losing people, losing the national wealth of people and resources, money, minimal expenditure on their part, especially if they could pull it off and remain anonymous or blame it on somebody else. That would be the same thing, wouldn't it? I'm not saying it's easy. Far, far from it. It's not easy to start a hobby farm. There's expense, there's work, there's time, a change in lifestyle, maybe a change in employment. In the modern age, there's opportunities we didn't have even 15 or 20 years ago with internet, especially if your hobby farm would be located in a place where you can get high-speed internet. That opens up employment opportunities and business opportunities for people that simply did not exist 20 years ago, 25 years ago. We had internet 20 years ago. 1998, of course we did. It wasn't as ubiquitous as it is now, but it did exist, and it was in daily use. 25 years ago? No, I don't think so. No, the internet did exist, but almost nobody took part in the internet back then. It's a major decision. You want to get it right the first time. If you're considering moving to the Arkansas, Missouri Ozarks, whatever community you think you might want to move to, I'd say spend at least a week there, a week at a minimum. 2 weeks would be even better. You get to know the lay of the land, the local culture, the people, what amenities there are that you think you need to have access to: healthcare, education, shopping, cultural events, whatever it might be. Now, where I live in Davisville, we have to travel to participate in anything. The 6 mile, 6.5 mile drive one way to pick up my mail. 12.5 miles one way to get a gallon of gasoline or go to a supermarket. If I want to go to any place where there's more serious shopping, such as Walmart, looking at 45 minutes one way. Now, that's just part of the lifestyle out there. It's an accepted, normal part of the lifestyle. Get used to it. This is not all that unusual for the Arkansas Missouri Ozarks. Now, there's small. You can live closer to a town. Of course, you could. I just happen to end up where I ended up. And these small towns, they will take care of themselves. These people all know each other. Many of them related by blood and marriage. They went to high school together. The culture of these small towns is unique. And I really didn't understand it until I moved out there and became part of it. And I'm still learning the nuances of small town America. Your business is everybody's business. Get over it. I walk into a Walmart 45 minute drive away. There's just three of them within 45 minute drives, one northeast, one northwest, and one southwest. I'm not there 5 or 10 minutes before people are saying hi, John. And frequently I don't have a clue who these people are. I've been a very public person out there where I live. I'm now an elected member of the county, very low level. I am the Republican committeeman for my township. And so I've been very active with my concealed carry classes and various cultural events that I participate in, going to church. And I've attended church at several of the churches around the area. At least 4 or 5 different churches that I can think of, maybe 6. You need to do the same thing. If you move to a small community, you need to become part of the community so that the community leadership knows who you are, that you're a solid, dependable person that can be counted on, maybe counted on to sell tickets for the local Lions Club event. Or maybe help out during a flood or tornado. Being a known, dependable person in the community is very helpful and very good for you and for everybody. It's extremely important. The Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks has been designated by the U.S. Navy more than 30 years ago as one of the known safe havens for the following reason: altitude above sea level, distance from major bodies of water, a relatively short, relatively mild winter, more water than we know what to do with. There's more bridges between the Arkansas border and the Missouri River in Missouri than there is in any state in the United States. We have so many creeks and rivers. More bridges than any state in the United States, and just half the state of Missouri, the Ozark side of the state. A very homogeneous population. A population that knows that God's gift to mankind is hunting and fishing, which are the two most popular sports of recreation in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. All these things combined, a low population density, did I forget to mention that? Very low population density for a number of reasons. For all these reasons, U.S. Navy designated the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as a safe haven more than 30 years ago. Going back to about 1979, as far back as I can trace it, when I started doing these briefings. The briefings about rising ocean levels. Classified briefings. I've debriefed more than 2 dozen Navy vets, most of them submarine veterans, by the way. that were at these classified briefings, being told that, gentlemen, in your lifetimes, these oceans will come out of their basins, flooding all coastal areas worldwide. And by the way, there's going to be a new inland sea in the Mississippi River Valley. And also, by the way, the weight of that water on the New Madrid seismic zone will trigger at least 3 9-point-plus earthquakes. That's what these men were told going back to 1979. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the first day of May. I believe we have a caller on hold here. Dan in Hawaii. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, John. Thank you. John, I've got a book here that I got back in the 70s. I've had it all this time, called The Comfrey Report. And so I go back quite a ways, Wayne Comfrey. I've got some information on Comfrey and and two other plants that are really super high in protein. I think most people don't realize the amount of protein in these plants. One is actually is comfrey. We're looking at about 34% protein.
That's in incredibly high. I think wheat is normally harvest wheat now is running about 9%.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is a complete protein. It's got tryptophan and all the main aspects that you need for a complete protein. Now that's 34% for comfrey. That's either eating the leaves. Now I chop the leaves up really, really fine. I almost garnish them, and I just add it to my soups. If you don't chop it up and just eat it like in a salad or something, it's got kind of a gamey taste. But I found that cooked in a soup, it's quite good. It's okay. I also wanted to recommend lima beans. They're 21%. Now, I grow a lima bean called King of the Garden. There's various companies that sell them. And that's a gigantic plant, actually, and with arms that can be 10, 12 feet long. There might be 4 or 5 arms per plant. And that's the one I prefer. And you get an incredible yield from the King of the Garden lima bean. And again, that's about 21% complete protein. And then lentils are 24%. And split peas are about 18%. So I wanted to share that with you.
Well, I appreciate that, yeah. Appreciate that. That's very helpful.
Yeah, can I say one more thing?
Please do. Yes, we're almost out of time this hour. Go ahead.
Okay. You were talking about EMP, and I'm glad that you get on that subject so often. Learn quite a bit from you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I heard this being talked about in the control room of my boat when I was in the Navy. And this goes back 50 years ago, they were talking about this. So they've known about this for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
These were the officers and some of the brightest men I've ever known. Certainly possible. And I think that due to the possibility of this event occurring at some point, I think it's a real good idea to actually test your home out occasionally.
That's right. It is. Thanks for the call, sir. We're out of time this hour. Appreciate it. We'll be back after the top of the hour break.
Many people write about their experience with Xtendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Xtendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Xtendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Xtendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.